Although not all women will have children, for many it's a basic progression of a loving relationship, a right of womanhood to be able to procreate. But due to many and varying factors, some couples struggle to conceive on their own, left on the sidelines to watch others who find it easy to build a family. These days, there are ways and means beyond traditional pregnancy to conceive and bring to term a child, including IVF, adoption, egg donation, and a less common way, finding a surrogate. This week we have heard from Rebecca, who is pregnant with a baby who belongs to another couple. When she gives birth in November, there will be another woman beside her in the delivery room, known in surrogacy terms as the intended mother. She will be the first to hold the baby when it comes into the world, and she will take it home to eventually become the legal parent. Although she wishes to remain anonymous, she spoke to us about her desire for a family.
No, we don't have any kids at the moment.
So this one that Rebecca is having will be your first.
Yes.
When did you realise that conceiving naturally would be difficult for you?
Well, I think I did wonder about it even before my husband and I were together. I'd had a few cone biopsies and on my cervix, and they said, "Oh, it won't affect your fertility," but I did wonder, and then I guess we were together for about a year and trying naturally, and that didn't work. So we went then to see a fertility specialist and did something called IUI first, where they track your cycle and then they take Dave's sperm and just using a syringe, they put that sperm inside you once they know you're ovulating.
In the same form as IVF or the other way?
Well, IVF is when they take out your embryo. So this one, they don't take out your embryo.
Right, yeah. But that didn't work.
No. So, and that's the kind of step they might do, and then they ramp it up to the IVF, and we did that for 5 or 6 years.
What did that do to you psychologically?
Well, it was pretty draining, I guess. Like, each time you go through an IVF cycle, you get hopeful maybe it'll work, and then, you know, but also scared that it won't, and then, you know, you get met with disappointment and you feel really sad. So I guess it's a roller coaster of emotions, really, like, it does put your life into a bit of a holding pattern, because, you know, you have to be around to do the IVF cycle, so it impacts on your, you know, functioning, be able to do other things, holidays, that kind of stuff, obviously financially.
So you then sat down and thought about your options, and I suppose one of them would be to give up altogether. Did you consider that?
Yeah, I mean, we did talk about it. So, I mean, I was probably the main instigator of us keeping going. We looked into adoption, and we also did... egg donation before we got to surrogacy as well.
Okay, so let's come to surrogacy now. Was that in your mind in the early days, or was it the furthest thing from your mind?
No, I hadn't really heard about it, to be honest. So, you know, which is a bit surprising. I didn't really know about it. So I guess it's something that's probably happening more, but it is, I guess, a small amount of people doing it, really. So,
yeah. So you read about it, and did you broach the subject with your husband, and what was his response?
He was initially a bit like, well, you know, that's pretty full-on type of thing to do, to get someone else to carry your baby, and then, I guess, but then he, you know, once we'd, he was open to thinking about it, and then, you know, I guess with Beck, he met Beck, and she's really great. And I guess that alleviated a lot of his concerns about it.
How did you meet Beck?
So it was like on a Facebook page. People talk about, there's a, like, where they talk about it. And, you know, we would initially just became friends. And she was, you know, a friend of mine as we were going through the egg donation and stuff. And then she offered. Which was really, you know, felt very, I guess, privileged to have that offer. And it's because, you know, massive deal for someone do that for you, for a friend to do that. And then, so I talked to Dave about it, and then he, you know, he met Beck. And, you know, I think probably one of the most important parts of it is being comfortable with your surrogate and their family.
Yeah.
And feeling, you know, that you're comfortable and trust them. And
well, how do you feel about the baby that Beck's carrying right now? Do you view that child as yours at the moment?
Yeah, I do. I certainly do. Like, so that it has mine and my husband's genetic material. So that's really exciting for us because we didn't think we'd ever have that opportunity. So, I guess you go into surrogacy knowing that is your baby. So, certainly, you know, and Beck treats it like that. And I guess it is a bit of a different experience to carrying it yourself. Like, we don't get all those things that people get when they're pregnant, women get, you know.
No, you don't get morning sickness for one thing, do you?
No, don't get that. So that was good. but yeah, then you miss out things like, you know, when the baby kicks and all that stuff. But
yeah,
I guess, you know, even though it's a little bit sad, at the same time, it's like, well, I just feel so happy and relieved that we're having a baby. So,
but you and Beck are geographically apart at the moment, a fair distance between you. So how often are you in contact, and have you gone and touched her belly and felt the baby kick, or what, have you done anything like that?
Yeah, so she is quite a distance away. So we'll be going down there next week for the 20-week scan. So we'll be in the room for that.
And so you go to all those sort of events?
Yeah, milestone. I haven't felt the baby kick yet, though, because we were down there for the 12-week scan and it hadn't started. I think that starts around week 16 or something. So that's, you know, I'm really looking forward to feeling that. But, you know, Beck sends me pictures and will regularly text me saying, oh, I just got the baby kick, and that's really exciting. And then we talk on the phone quite a bit.
Mm. So, well, you've become close friends, as you said,
mm-hmm.
but you'd have to be very frank with each other, wouldn't you?
Yes.
About whose baby this is and the likelihood that that she could give birth and then suddenly find, oh, no, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yes, it is very true. You have to feel there's a lot of trust involved, and you have to feel, you know, confident. I guess we wouldn't have selected someone who we had doubts about in that sense, that wouldn't be able to relinquish the child. I guess that's part of that is this, you know, you go to see the psychologist for that assessment prior to doing the medical stuff, and that is where you nut out all those scenarios
mm-hmm.
about what if this happened, that happened, that kind of thing. So I guess, we have to always talk to Beck about, you know, stuff, and Beck will hopefully feel okay that Beck will be able to talk to us about things that they, when they come up, so that they're not kind of left in the background where you might with your other friends, because but this is a lot, I guess there's a lot more at stake. So, yeah, you have to have that honesty.
Mm. I mean, you are intelligent adult women, so you know just about everything that could or couldn't happen. But at the same time, you're also human beings.
Yes.
With emotions, aren't you?
That's right. And I guess you can't predict the future 100% for any scenario, really. So.
Mm. What about your friends and your family? When did you discuss it, or have you discussed it with them?
Yeah, definitely so. Like, my family is very supportive, and we're so excited to hear it, and they just think Beck is amazing and, like, are desperate to meet her. Dave's family also been really supportive, and they just really want us to have a child. So I guess same with our friends. I guess you tell people when you kind of feel appropriate for that particular friendship. So,
yeah.
You know, the close friends know about it, and then, you know, friends that are less close are starting to find out. Because, you know, suddenly I'm going to go from not being pregnant to rocking up with the baby. So,
where did that come from?
That's right. So it might be a few awkward conversations where they're like, where is that baby from? So, yeah, I guess we have to think about that. Like you know, with your workplace as well, like when do you tell people? But my work's been really supportive, so...
Do you find it best to actually tell as many people as possible so there is no dark, deep secrets and it's out there well before the baby is actually born?
It depends. It really does depend on who the person is. I certainly do advocate that honesty and openness and in relationships, like in terms of letting people know, but then I guess if I had a sense that someone might feel uncomfortable with it or give me a hard time, I probably wouldn't disclose it to them, you know, and then I think about what I will say to, I guess you know, I need to think of another, think of some way to manage it with people who I won't tell it was surrogacy. So I haven't worked that one out yet though.
So you will be at Beckside when the time comes?
Yeah, so we'll go down there to where she lives like, 3 weeks early, because we obviously don't want to miss the birth, and I know it's really important to bet we're there for the birth as well, so we'll just be hanging around waiting for it, really, down in that town.
Yeah. I mean, no doubt you'll be holding her hand or wiping her brow or something, but you'll be feeling it as if it was you giving birth?
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting. So, I mean, even just about... So Beck was good in asking the hospital about it, even us being in the room when the child's born. All that stuff gets more complicated with surrogacy. Apparently we can be in the room, but I have heard, you know, that's not always the case. And then what happens is staying overnight and that.
Well, that's an interesting one, isn't it? I mean, normally it's perhaps only the father that's allowed in or a birth companion for the woman.
Yes.
But then who's the father of the child,
that's
you know?
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. So, so hospital, I guess, you know, they've got to get their head around it and see whether they're, will allow that kind of stuff, I guess. One of the hardest parts of it is just the cost of the legal part of it, really. It's huge financial cost. You know, the psychologist gets paid, the lawyer gets paid a lot. The person carrying the baby is the only one who doesn't. So I guess, yeah, from a legal perspective, I would be... if it could be a little bit easier and a bit clearer, so, you know, that you could go somewhere to find out the information about how you actually go about this process and then making it a bit more, I guess, because it's a bit cost prohibitive for a lot of people as well.
All right, now the baby's born. Do you know what its gender is at this stage?
No. So we should hopefully find out next week at the 20 weeks.
Okay, so you will find out. You will know before birth, will you?
Yes. If they can tell us, we will definitely be finding out.
Okay. So at what point can you take the baby home?
So I believe the hospitals have it so that the birth mother has to leave the hospital with the baby. Say if Beck needed to stay in, the baby can't be discharged into our care. So, and we can take it straight away, though. Apart from that, just getting out of the hospital, then it goes straight into our care. So we'll stay.
Is that a legal point, is it? Like the baby's mother, biological mother, must leave the hospital with the baby, and yet in the car park even, you can transfer it to you?
Yeah, I don't know. Or whether it's hospital's policy. I'm not even sure why that has been set, who set that rule.
Yeah. Anyway, from that point on, the baby's yours and you and your husband go off and the three of you are then a family.
Yeah. So, and we'll go and, you know, we'll stay with Beck for, up to a week just to, make sure everything's going okay with Beck because, you know, that's a big transition for her. I guess hopefully, you know, we'll be able to, because obviously I won't be able to breastfeed, so hopefully Beck will be able to express. But, you know, mostly just to make sure she's going okay after, so emotionally. And then, yeah, back to where we live, and I'll be off on maternity leave then, like everyone else.
Yeah, like everyone else, yeah. Yeah.
But then we have to go for a parentage order, I think it's called. So that's a big legal cost that we have coming our way afterwards.
Oh, gee, you haven't stopped spending the money yet then, do you?
No, definitely not.
Have you got a name picked out for the little one yet?
No, because we're waiting till we find out the gender.
Come on, that's 50-50.
Yeah, I know. So I guess that is one of the things when you do surrogacy, is that you get nervous about things like it. When you do so much IVF, you're like, is this one going to work? And then now I'm like, oh, my goodness, I think it is actually going to work. But I haven't gone and done all that stuff, like buying things. I've just started and I'm just, like, all heady with excitement. So baby naming is also, I think we'll be discussing that on the way to Beck's town and start the negotiation process.
And what's the what about the child when it's old enough? Will you tell the child of its origins?
Yes, definitely. We'll be open about that from day dot. I think, you know, having openness in that process is really important for the child, just so that they, you know, help with their forming their identity. And, you know, we wouldn't want to make that a secret as something that might be shameful. It's something, you know, to be celebrated. But they're private information and they decide who they want to tell. So we plan to have an ongoing relationship with Beck and her family, so that the child would, you know, see them and each year and get to hang out with them.
And at one time you will introduce Beck, who it will already know, as their biological mother?
So what we would like is for the baby to know that before. It's something they've just always known. So it's not like something like, surprise, this is your biological mother. It's just something like, yeah, my parents told me about that as long as I can remember.
Yes.
So keep it very just part of their story, I guess. Because I think it's hard for them if they do get a surprise. Yeah.
All right. When's the baby due, Sally?
22nd of November.
November. All right. Well, this Christmas, it's going to be an interesting household at your place, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, I can't wait.
That was the intended mother, who will take home the baby when it is born in late November. Tomorrow, we speak to Sam Everingham, the former president of Surrogacy Australia, who travelled a difficult road on the journey to his own surrogate daughters.